Smashville Live is live at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue tonight. We got a great crowd of Preds fans here on hand, and we're building a decor. My name is Max Herz. We are joined by three defensemen here on the stage tonight. Hal Gill is my co-host. Can we clap it up for Skillsy, everybody?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And current Preds defensemen Nick Blankenberg and Justin Barron are here for their Smashville Live debuts tonight. Guys, thanks so much for being here. Great to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Many of the fans who were here saw you guys at Casino Night last night, Nash Vegas. Did you guys have fun in the casino with the Preds fans?
Oh, yeah. It was a great time, obviously, for a good cause, and good to interact with the fans and just be out and see some people and have some good conversations.
You said you were dealing cards. You were a blackjack dealer?
Yeah.
How did that go?
Not good. Luckily, we weren't playing for any real money or else the house would have been down a lot, but no, it was fun.
What about you, Justin?
Yeah, it was a great time. Like Blank said, we got to, you know, deal some cards. You know, I got to play on the table when Blanks was dealing for a bit, so that was fun. And yeah, nice to, you know, meet some fans and meet some people. And like you said, obviously for a great cause. So yeah, it was a good night.
Yeah, we haven't been to Vegas yet. Are you guys gamblers? Will you do that? No, not much.
Every once a little bit. Yeah, just in Vegas. I feel like you have to play for a little fun. But
yeah. Why wouldn't you, right?
Yeah.
Why not? You guys are both new to Nashville this year, so events like that are so great, and like tonight for fans to get to see you and meet you, both of you coming from different teams over the last year. What's this been like, becoming comfortable in Smashville and getting settled with a new team? We'll start with you, Nick.
Yeah, it's been great for me. Obviously, a really good group of guys in the locker room, and I've always said Bridgestone's always a fun building to play in, and a lot of big reason of that is because of the fans, so... Yeah, just being around yesterday and being able to meet a lot of fans and talk to people was just cool to kind of meet everybody and see a little bit what it's like off the ice too. So having a lot of fun and just grateful to be here.
And Justin, you being traded mid-season, what's it been now? A month and a half? Feels much longer, right?
Yeah, no, it's been great so far. Really enjoying the city, the fans, you know, events like tonight, last night, getting out and meeting some people. And, you know, it's a great group of guys here. And yeah, starting to feel more comfortable with the city and get used to it. And yeah, really looking forward to being here.
I know there's been a lot of talk about Bruno's system and the defensive zone, and it takes time to adjust to that. So we won't dive into too much hockey. I know we wouldn't want to talk about these guys and what they do, but I'm interested as a defenseman, what are the challenges with Bruno's system and the way that the Preds want to play? I'll start with you, Nick.
Yeah.
You've been doing it longer.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, we had a really good meeting yesterday just with the team of going over a lot of clips of what our D-zone looks like and times when we've been really successful at it. And I think the biggest thing is just a lot of skating for all five guys. And I think, obviously, that takes a lot out of you at times, so it can be difficult. But we obviously see it works, and it's hard work. So, yeah, a lot of skating, really aggressive. Trying to support each other in the D zone. And I think when you guys have seen, and we felt it too, and obviously you guys watching, when we are doing it, we are skating, we're a hard team to play against in the D zone, and we limit a lot of chances. So I think it's just the fight to be consistent on it every single night, and obviously doing things that are difficult. So
yeah, Justin, you coming in mid-season, trying to make that change from Montreal, what's that been like?
Yeah, it's definitely been a bit of adjustment. You know, Montreal, we were pretty strict man-on-man. So, yeah, it's a lot different here. I think, you know, it definitely takes some getting used to. But, you know, I think every game I'm starting to feel more and more comfortable with it. And, you know, like I said, when we're doing it well and playing really good D-zone, you know, it feels like we're limiting the other team's chances a lot. You know, getting pucks back a lot faster. Like Blank said, we play with a lot of pace, or we try to in the D-zone. And, you know, ultimately, I think that allows us to play with the puck more in the offensive zone and get out of our zone quicker.
It's safe to say the mindset would be, hey, we're going to not only stop these guys, but we're going to get the puck and be moving and getting out of the zone while we're doing it. And that becomes the challenge. Am I right?
Yeah. Absolutely. I think obviously the more time that we can spend with the puck and get out of keep their top guys and just their forwards in general and their team limited time with the puck in the D zone and try and play more O zone. Obviously it all starts in the D zone. So
yeah.
Nick Blankenberg and Justin Barron, Preds defensemen, are our guests here on Smashville Live, presented by Black Abbey Brewing. You guys have had some great moments in your first years as a Pred, some big goals for both of you. We'll start with you, Justin. Your first goal as a Pred, bar down, one-timer from Roman Josi. Pretty good one, and we heard it get a Shea Weber comparison in the locker room with Shea Weber in the house. That might be too far to compare anybody to Shea Weber.
You leaned on it, didn't you?
Yeah, I think that's it's a nice comparison to get, but I think it's a little bit far-fetched. It's definitely one I'm going to remember. Just a cool play, getting a pass from Josi and putting it in, a special feeling, and even more exciting to get that one at Bridgestone.
And Nick, we've talked about how your goals have all been big for the Preds so far this year. The overtime winner against the Kings, which I think is now in every single highlight video that plays in the arena. It plays like five times a game and gets a round of applause.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was a big one. And then the game-winning goal and the biggest comeback in Preds history. And then driving the net and going backhand in St. Louis, which might have been Hal's favorite goal of the year.
Yeah, that was pretty sick.
Yeah.
That was pretty sick.
Three good ones to open your Preds account.
Yeah, I mean, obviously like scoring goals and it's fun. So just very thankful for the opportunity to be trusted in situations. Being thrown out there for overtime was maybe a little bit of a shock for me early on. But, just trying to do what I can to help the team offensively. And I think the big part of that is just trying to do things the right way all over the ice, and specifically in the D zone, to be trusted to be able to go out there in those situations. So, it's been a lot of fun.
But both of you guys, I feel like they let the reins on you go in the offensive zone. You know, you're working on the D zone, and you have to have the structure. Offensive zone, do you feel like you can just go? Because both of you guys have really helped the offense with the way you just move around in the offensive zone.
Yeah, I think Bruno's done a great job, and Richie as well, and just kind of letting us just play hockey at that point and trying to cause as much confusion as we can. And for a D-man who I like to leave the blue line and be able to go to the net, and obviously that's fun if Chazy or Yost are shooting the puck, to be able to go down and hopefully get a rebound or something.
Yeah.
So they're not too strict on that, so it definitely makes it a lot more fun.
Are you enjoying that too, Justin?
Yeah, I love it. I've always tried to bring that kind of offensive side of my game, and I think with the forward group we have too, and all the skill up front, it allows us to, be able to jump in down low, and like you said, the system's pretty pretty good with us, jumping into holes, taking pucks down the wall, and everyone's kind of in motion and filling each other's spots in. So I think when the ozone gets going, it's a lot of fun.
Good stuff, guys. We're going to take a break so the Preds players can sign some autographs for fans here at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue here on Smashville Live. Justin Barron and Nick Blankenberg are our player guests. Tonight's show, as always, is presented by Black Abbey Brewing here on your radio home for Nashville Predators hockey, ESPN 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. My name is Max Herz, along with former Preds defenseman Hal Gill and current Preds defenseman Nick Blankenberg and Justin Barron, who are our player guests tonight here at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue. Final week before the Four Nations face-off gets going. Oh, Hal's got to sign an autograph first. Getting a duplicate Hal Gill autograph.
He already got it. He's already got it. You already got it, my man.
Well, there you go. Now we're covered. Justin Barron and Nick Blankenberg are here. Final week before the Four Nations face-off. I'm excited to watch.
Are you? I'm anxious to see how this goes. Like, how hard are these guys going to go? What do you think, boys? Like, because this could be, I mean.
I think they'll probably go pretty hard. Like, after seeing, the articles of how juice guys are playing it, I think there's an article, McAvoy's getting goosebumps thinking about it.
Yeah.
I think all these guys are pretty pumped for it.
Anytime
pretty short
you put your
too.
Country's jersey on, you want to go hard. So this could be like a bloodbath, in the middle of the season. That's a tough one.
I'm excited.
I mean,
I don't have to go out there and sweat.
And you guys get some time off. Are you excited about that? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Much needed just to kind of get away for a little bit. I'll probably watch maybe one or two of the games. I'll definitely stay in a loop with everything and watch the highlights, but I'm going to enjoy just a little bit of time away from hockey and just kind of reset.
Traveling anywhere? Are you going to you got anywhere good?
Yeah, I'm heading down to Key Biscayne, just outside Miami. Yeah. So go there for a little bit, which will be nice. Get some sun and maybe golf. So
Recharge a little bit? Yeah. You a good golfer?
I like to think so. Not as good as JV, but.
Justin, you're a golfer?
Yeah, I'm a big golfer.
What's your handicap?
One.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. So you're like legit good. Not messing around good.
Okay. So Gus Nyquist has company then for best golfer on the team? Or is
Well, from what I hear, Gus is still quite a bit better. But, hopefully we'll be able to play with him, sometime maybe at the end of the season.
Yeah. Where, how about you, Justin? You going anywhere good?
I'm going to Barbados.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You guys need some sun. After that voyage through Canada, I was saying we need some sun at some point in our lives.
Oh, yeah. Just be good to get outside.
I thought you were going to say you guys need someone to go with you. I thought that's what you were going to ask.
I'll join you if you need someone.
I will bite the bullet.
You need a caddy, Blanky? You need a
I think I'm all good. Me and my girlfriend are heading down there, so I think I'll be all right.
Nick Blankenberg and Justin Barron are our guests here on Smashville Live, presented by Black Abbey Brewing. Two first-time guests here on Smashville Live, so always fun to get to know these guys. We'll start with you, Justin. You played juniors in your hometown in Halifax. How did you end up getting drafted by the Halifax Mooseheads in the Quebec League, and what was it like to play for that team?
Yeah, it was a dream come true. Being a kid growing up, watching guys like Nathan MacKinnon, Mackenzie Weegar, Jonathan Drouin, they won the Memorial Cup there in 2013. So, that was a few years before I got there, but I was at a lot of the games and, I was just fortunate enough to get drafted by them and spend my whole junior career there. And, it's just a cool feeling, growing up in the, your hometown and then playing for that same team that you grew up watching and being such a big fan of. It was pretty special 4 years.
Did you live at home, I assume,
I did. It was nice at times. By the end of it, I think I was ready to get out of there. being a 19-year-old, I was ready to get out of my parents' house. So it was exciting when I went pro and got to move out and live with a couple other guys and, kind of get that feel for a new life.
Did you guys billet anybody else when you were there?
No, we never did. It was just me and my parents because my brother was gone too, so.
And Nick, an American, took a journey to Canada. There's been some good reporting from all of our media on your hockey journey this year. But you start out in Michigan, then you go all the way west to Okotoks, Alberta, to play in the AJHL, were you the only person not from Alberta on your team? Definitely the only person not from Canada, right?
I was the only American, I know that. Yeah, I think I was the only... Yeah, the only guy who wasn't from Alberta.
So take us through the journey of what your options were at that point, how you ended up going west and coming back home to play at the University of Michigan after that.
So I was playing high school hockey in Michigan. I was a forward at the time, and after graduating high school, I tried out for a couple teams in the North American League and didn't make any of those teams, and then I ended up, luckily I didn't turn... 18 until late in that year, since my birthday's May, so I was able to play another year of midget major hockey. So basically I was just working as a Zamboni driver part-time and playing for Victory Honda, just with like a hope and a dream to play junior hockey and eventually make it to Division One. And then midway through that year, I switched to D-man somehow. We had a couple guys get hurt and a couple guys leave for junior, so I went back on D and ended up liking it and playing well, and that caught the attention of Okotoks and I think it was Amarillo. That was a seventh-round draft pick in the NHL at the end of that year, and ultimately ended up choosing Okotoks, and obviously that was one of the best decisions I've ever made. It was the year after Makar was in Brooks that year in the AJ, so my thought process was if Cale Makar, who goes fourth overall in the NHL, is good enough for the AJHL, I think it's a good enough league for me too. So
that's a crazy story. So take us the rest of the way, because I heard this story. Max told this. I don't know if our listeners have heard the whole story, but it's an awesome one. So after that, that's when Michigan gets involved, right?
Yeah. So again, like a kid from Michigan playing in the Alberta Junior Hockey League isn't very normal or heard of. So Bill McCault was the associate head coach at Michigan at the time, and I had pretty good numbers that year and saw that I was from Michigan, and he always goes out to recruit in the BCHL, and he came out and saw me one weekend and liked me and knew I was coming back to Michigan for Christmas to see family. So he said, like, hey, why don't you come on like an unofficial visit when you're home for Christmas? So I ended up doing that. They offered me a walk-on spot on the team for next year, and I had two or three other Division I offers at that point to like smaller schools, but I think within 15 minutes of the car ride home, after my unofficial visit, I told my parents, I was like, hey, like, I know they offered me a walk-on spot, but like, this is what I want to do. Like,
yeah.
This is Michigan, out of all the places, this is like a dream come true. Like, I never thought that was possible. So I ended up kind of betting on myself there. And
with that walk-on spot, there's no promises, right? They're basically saying, hey, well, yeah, they give you this spot, but
yeah. So when I committed there, they said, like, I feel like every coach probably says this to a guy who they're offering this to, but like, hey, you're gonna get a chance to play at some point. And I was like, oh, okay, they said I'm gonna get a chance to play. So luckily they were true to their word. I think I played every game that year but one, and then I felt like just over the next sophomore year, junior and senior year, I felt like I just continued to grow that confidence and like, oh, like, maybe I can keep playing after college. And luckily came true. So
that's an amazing story.
It's
one of my favorites, so congrats on that, because I know there's a lot of kids out there that are, you know, like, hey, I didn't make this team, or you know, you go around and you try to you want to play and you have a dream, but sometimes you have to go through the grind.
And I don't think I would be the hockey player I am today, but I think more importantly the person, without having gone through all of those difficult situations, whether if I was getting cut from a team when I was 16 and having to play high school, to switching from forward to D, to somehow ending up in the AJ, to being a walk-on. Like, I think all of those things have proven to me, and I think can help me use my platform better to help other people. And like, hey, there's not one single path to get to college or to the NHL or to junior hockey. Like, it's very different based on everyone's circumstances. So hopefully I can use my platform to motivate other young hockey players and to achieve their dreams.
Yeah, these two guys' amateur stories certainly prove that there are a lot of different ways to get there. That's Nick Blankenberg. We'll go back to Justin Barron now. When you make the NHL, first-round pick of the Avalanche, major debut for the Avs, and Preds fans will remember your second NHL game. It was here in Nashville, the game that the Avs were, I guess, you can tell us what actually happened. We were told that they were voting in the locker room whether they wanted to play the game or not because of COVID, and you were one of the 16 players who did play for the Avs in that game. Is that what went down?
Yeah, pretty much. It was a crazy couple hours, you know, before the game. I remember we had to get, COVID tests before we came to the rink, before the game. And then I think after warm-up, they had pulled Darcy Kemper, who was our starting goalie, our equipment manager. They pulled Jack Johnson, a couple other guys I can't remember. We were down. I can't remember the exact numbers, but we started the game with like one goalie, I think four defensemen, and like nine forwards or something. Joe Sakic came in before the game and just kind of talked to us and said, you know, we can play this game if we want, but we can also, you know, reschedule it for another time in the season. But, you know, at that point, it was after a nice warm-up, so I think everyone was already amped up, and we were already there and ready to play. So everyone was all had the same decision,
so,
and we wanted to play. But
so crazy.
Yeah, I remember, you know, it was me and Jordan Gross, who I believe was here last year for a little bit.
Yeah.
We were both called up from the AHL at the time, and there was only four of us defensemen starting. So it was me and him, and then Jack Johnson ended up being a false positive, so he came back on the bench halfway through the first period. But yeah, it was a whirlwind of a game.
And you guys are looking at more ice time. We'll just take it. Hey, this is good for our stat sheet. We'll get plenty of ice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So you had the COVID debut. Nick, you debuted right out of Michigan with the Blue Jackets in 2022. How did you go about signing out of college and getting straight to them into the NHL?
Yeah, I think being a free agent out of college probably gives you a little bit more negotiating power, because you can choose from every single team in the NHL. So I talked to a few teams, and I felt like Columbus was the best fit for me and had the best opportunity to play. And anytime somebody offers you to play NHL games after your season's over, I felt like that was the right decision for me to take. And I was just very thankful for the opportunity. And obviously a surreal moment and a dream come true.
Yeah, every kid in Michigan dreams of playing in Columbus, right?
Yeah, so they gave me a hard time there. So.
That's all right. You'll take it.
Yeah,
you don't mind that.
Well, yeah, I feel like if Michigan were more of a force, you might be hearing it from the SEC people down here, but
yeah,
not this year. So
not this
I guess
year.
That's all right.
Tough year.
Hal was an Ohio State dad for 10
months. I was an Ohio
months.
State dad. Columbus is a great spot.
Oh, yeah.
You enjoy
yeah.
it there? It's a,
yeah,
it's a
I
good
love
spot.
It.
It's kind of a sleepy, nice spot to play.
Yeah, like being a younger guy, and obviously you have Ohio State just down the street, and so many good restaurants, a lot of good golf, great suburbs, and obviously the guys are great too. So, yeah, I feel like it's one of, you're right, like sneaky, underrated spots.
Yeah.
Outdoor game coming up there soon.
That's right. That's right.
Month from now? Yeah.
Yeah.
Month from now.
Justin, what did you think of playing in Montreal? I went through that circus, and it was a lot of fun. What were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. You know, Montreal, it's an unbelievable place to play. You know, the fans are awesome there as well. And,
yeah.
You know, the Bell Center's just, it's one of the coolest rinks in the league for sure. And, yeah, I enjoyed my time there. You know, I was there 2.5-3 years, so made a lot of good, you know, friends and had a lot of good teammates that, you know, I think I'll be friends with the rest of my life. And, yeah, you know.
It's hard to explain for, you know, people that haven't seen it, the craze that hockey is and the Habs are in that city. There's nothing else going on, and that's the big ticket. Every night, every game you go to is the big game.
Yeah, it's the city lives on hockey there.
Yeah.
It's you know, when you win a game, it's the best thing ever, and when you lose a game, it's the end of the world. So yeah. It's the media can get pretty intense there sometimes, but it was a fun spot to play, and getting traded, it happens quick, but really excited for a bit of a fresh start here and to get in with this group of guys.
Who's got better French, Hal Gill or Justin Barron?
You speak
probably
French?
Probably the Maritimer, I would
do.
Say.
I can get a little bit in, and I can, you know, a petit peu, but I can't do much. My kids can do that. They picked it up quick.
Yeah.
Me, not so much.
Yeah, it's good to know, honestly. Like, I took French immersion growing up in school.
Yeah.
I never really thought I'd use it when I got drafted to Colorado, and then, you know, getting traded to Montreal, it came in handy.
Nice.
All right, we'll take another break so these guys can sign some more autographs.
Pepper,
Justin Barron and Nick Blankenberg. Hal Gill's going to do French for the rest of the show. We got a Maritimer, a Michigander, and a masshole, Hal Gill here, the three defensemen up in the building. We are at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue for Smashville Live here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. We are at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue. Tonight's show is presented, as always, by Black Abbey Brewing. Hal Gill is enjoying his Black Abbey beer.
Delicious. Thank you, Carl.
Is Carl here?
Carl is here.
Hi, Carl from Black Abbey.
He's way up.
Wherever you are. I don't know if he can hear us.
Thank you, Black Abbey.
Thank you, Black Abbey.
You do amazing things.
Our next show will be 2 weeks from tonight during the second week of the Four Nations Face-Off at Brewhouse South. In the Cool Springs Galleria. Our player guests tonight, let's clap it up for the guys. Been signing some autographs. Nick Blankenberg and Justin Barron are here.
Good guys.
Hal Gill, the intrepid journalist as he is, was asking a good question that we should always ask on this show. How did you guys pick your jersey numbers? We'll start with number 37, Nick Blankenberg.
So I was number 7 at Michigan. When I signed in Columbus, Sean Crowley had 7. So I was like, all right, I'll just double it and go 77. Couldn't do 77 or here, so I was like, I'll just go 37. So keep a 7 in the number. I don't know if I'll keep that. I would probably either go back to 7 or 77 if I could, but 77.
Do we have a 77?
Evangelista.
Huh? Evangelista? Yeah. I don't know if you watched the game.
So he'll probably have that number for a long time, and Deli's got 7, so I'll probably be 37 for a bit here.
I'm sorry about him. Yeah, Hal usually doesn't let me out in public. It's going great so far tonight.
Maximilian, we have to work on this.
77's a high number. I can't think that high.
I know. That's just.
All right, I'm going to turn my mic off. Go ahead, number 20, Justin Barron.
I always, I looked up to my older brother a lot growing up, and usually just kind of followed in his footsteps with numbers. So wore 17 a little bit growing up. Then he sits to 20, and then I kind of switched to 20. I wore 20 in junior with Halifax, 20 in Colorado, and then it was taken in Montreal because that was the year Slefkovský got drafted there. And they actually just gave me 52 when I originally got traded there, and I kind of liked it. You know, growing up watching Mackenzie Weegar with the Mooseheads, I thought that was kind of cool. He was one of my favorite players growing up, and got to play with him at World Championships a couple of years ago too. So, yeah, stuck with 52 in Montreal, and then when 20 opened up when I got traded here, yeah, no one was wearing it, so they switched back to 20.
It's always interesting, this story, because I was given 75 as a training camp number with the Boston Bruins, and then they told me it was too high and I was too close to Ray Bourque, so I had to take it off, and I'm like, okay, give me 25. So I wore 25, and then they didn't have it in Pittsburgh because it was Max Talbot's number, so then I became 2, just because, I don't know why, because it was the first number they said to me. And then back to 75 as soon as I could choose in Montreal, because Montreal, every number was retired.
Yeah.
you know, there's not too many options. And so it's interesting the way that the stories go.
I like both of your guys' numbers, though.
Good numbers.
Like, not too common either. Stand out. 37 and 20.
Yeah. Good numbers.
I want to talk about the dad's trip, too. You guys had your dads there. Let's talk about everybody else's dads first, though. Whose dad did you most enjoy meeting and spending time with? Because it seemed like we had some characters.
There was a lot of dads. Like, I think, I mean, obviously all of them were great guys and great to talk to every single one of them and meet them. I think LaRue's dad was great to meet. I feel like he kind of...
Was he having fun?
Yeah, like when you see Z and then when you see his dad, you're like, okay, it makes sense. That's why that's why Z's like that. So his dad definitely likes to have a good time, so it was great to have him there. And then I think just for me, like being – I was living with Gus Nyquist for a little bit earlier on in the year and played with him in Columbus. So I think it was cool just to meet Gus's dad and kind of see, like, their relationship a little bit. So,
what about you, Justin?
Yeah, I think I kind of had the same answer. Z's dad, you know, is just an older version of Z. So, and I never got to meet his dad, you know, in the couple of years we played together in Halifax. So it was kind of cool to meet him. And, yeah, just meet all the guys' dads. And, you know, funny talking to Luke Shen's dad. I think he said that was his 21st dad's trip.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty cool. So.
That's got to be a record.
Jordan Stahl's father is, I think, probably
that's true.
Take it over the top. But, yeah, that's an impressive number. 21, that's it. So what did your father think?
My dad loved it. Like, that was his first experience of a dad's trip. My mom was able to experience one 2 years ago, which was cool, and I think he was a little jealous that he hasn't been able to go on one. So I think it was great just for him to be able to see more of the inside look of everything, like the pregame skate, the meals, the meetings, the plane, like everything.
Yeah, so father's got to go into the meetings and actually do that. I had never seen that. I never had a father's trip, and I'm sure my father would have stopped and said, hey, I want to understand that better. And I'd be like, Dad, please, just be quiet. But how was that? Was that cool having him in there?
Oh, yeah. Like, with just the for them to be able to see, like, the inside. Like, I talked to him on the phone and be like, oh, I just got back to the hotel from pregame skate and PK meeting. But he doesn't really understand what that looks like. For him to be able to now be able to visualize it and have experienced it, I feel like just helps him understand a little bit more of what we do on certain days and on game days. So I know he was very happy to be on the trip and to experience all of that.
And what about you, Justin, your dad?
Yeah, he loved it. You know, it was the first trip, first dad's trip he got to come on with me. He got to do one in Winnipeg with my brother last year. So, it's always special, you know, like Blank said, when they get to kind of live in your shoes for a day and, you know, get to sit inside the meetings and the morning skate and the plane, all the meals. So he really enjoyed it. And, it was a great experience. He, you know, for him, I think he's talked about trying to, you know, get around and see most of the rinks in the NHL, a game at each rink, I think is what he wants to do eventually. He got to see, check off two more rinks.
Yeah, check off a couple boxes.
Yeah, exactly.
Is he close? Is he halfway?
No, he's not halfway. He would probably be at around, I'd say, 8 to 10, which is not too bad starting off, but... that's something he's kind of talked about. So, and getting to see Sid too, I think, is pretty cool. I got to you know, take them down and introduce them to them after the game. And, you know, that was something pretty cool, I think.
That is cool. What was the takes from your father's? I'll tell you, my father said, don't ever complain about anything in your life ever again. Everywhere we go, there's food. And everywhere we go, and they gave you money for food, but they still bought you food. So I don't understand what you would ever have a complaint about. And that was his big take, is why are they bringing us food on the plane? We had food at the rink. And then we get, you know, we land, and they have a happy hour with food. It's everywhere. Did your parents, your fathers notice anything funny that they took from that?
I remember...
Because NHL, you get spoiled.
Yeah,
and I'm trying to tell my father it's a grind, and your fathers did get to see kind of a grind, right? That wasn't an easy back-to-back, and so they got to see the grind.
Yeah, I heard a lot of dads the second night saying they definitely gained a few pounds before heading home. But yeah, they got to see back-to-back, especially after that Buffalo game. The flight,
the de-icing
took a long time, and I saw a lot of sleeping dads on the plane, but yeah, I think it was just a cool experience for them, and too bad we couldn't have gotten some better results there, but definitely a special experience we'll remember.
Awesome weekend for the Preds and their dads. Nick Blankenberg and Justin Barron are our guests here on Smashville Live. And Justin, we haven't really gotten to talk about your brother yet, Morgan, who plays for the Jets. What's it like for you guys, two brothers in the NHL?
Yeah, it's really cool. I looked up to him, as I was growing up, and he's been a big role model in my life, and, to see all his hard work pay off too, and get to the NHL and, kind of achieve his dreams, it's awesome. And then...
How much older is he?
He's 3 years older.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think we've gotten to play against each other, like, 5 times now.
You were winning 3-1, I think, and... before the Winnipeg game, right?
Yeah, I had the hot stick against him when I was with Montreal. But yeah, he got the last one on me. And I think they're back too at the end of the month here. So my parents will be down for that game. And,
nice.
It'll be their first time in Nashville too. So.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
That'll be great. And another thing you guys are known for around the league, being traded on the same day. Was it the same exact day or just the same deadline?
No, it was the same day. So it was deadline day. And I had an idea I could get traded, talked to my agent the week leading up to the trade deadline. And that was obviously the year Colorado won the Stanley Cup. So they were trying to bring in some older guys who could help the team right away. And I woke up the next morning, or the morning of trade deadline day, and halfway through practice got pulled off and told I was traded. And the crazy thing is my brother had no idea it was coming. So he was in Hartford at the time, the Rangers AHL system, and he was on the golf course with a couple of his teammates. And it was an hour after the trade deadline had closed.
Yeah,
but
they got him.
It takes a while for the trades to get processed and officially go through. So he said he was on the green putting, and all the boys heard a phone start going off in one of the carts, and they were all kind of looking at each other and wondering whose phone it was.
And you think you made it through the clear.
Yeah, he thought he was in the clear. And but I think it was a blessing in disguise for him. He got to go to Winnipeg, and he's really instilled his role there and got to play a lot. And, obviously on a great team too. So
that's awesome. Well, great for you guys. Glad your parents will get to be here for that too later this month. We'll take a break.
That's a lot to deal with for one family.
Yeah,
a lot of trades.
Yeah, it was a busy day.
Big trades too.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break, come back. Can we take some fan questions, Sean? Do we have the fan mic? We do. All right. We'll take some fan questions for Justin Barron and Nick Blankenberg coming up next here on Smashville Live here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. As always, we are presented by Black Abbey Brewing here at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue on ESPN 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Max Herz here at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue. Our show, as always, is presented by Black Abbey Brewing. Hal Gill is running the show up front now.
I'll be in charge, Max. Go out, talk to the people.
All right, Hal's going to coach up the D-Core.
Who
has some questions for Nick Blankenberg and Justin Barron in the crowd? All right, everybody, when you ask a question, introduce yourself, please, and then go from there.
Hey, my name's Kaylee. I was wondering, since neither of you guys are from the southern United States, what's your favorite part about being down here now?
That's a great question, and I think I would have to answer probably the live music. I love live music, and I feel like there's a ton of it in Nashville, so that I've been really enjoying that.
Yeah, I think I love the country music too. You know, everyone's so friendly here. I think that's one of the first things I noticed. And the weather too, coming from the Maritimes in Montreal. The weather here has been great, so.
Yeah, I thought they were both gonna say the weather right away. All right, next up.
This question is for Nick. So, happened to notice that your plus minus year to date is like plus 10, which is outstanding over like a 30 game period. So, what do you attribute that to? That shows me some fortitude on the ice, some really being aggressive as a defenseman, and you know, we really appreciate all those efforts.
Yeah, good question. Honestly, I think part of it could be luck sometimes. Like sometimes just you get good bounces, and if you're out there for, like, imagine how many times Roman Josi has gotten a minus this year for being out there on 6-on-5 when they score on an empty net. So on the other end for us, there's been a few games where I've been out there 6-on-5 and we've been scoring, so I get a plus for that. So that's one side of it, and then obviously the other side, just really trying to dial it in defensively, and obviously I don't like getting scored on, so doing everything I can to keep the puck out of the net, and obviously we have two great goaltenders in behind us who help out with that.
All right, coming back to the right side for a question. Introduce yourself, please.
Hello, I'm Jonathan. I got a question for both of y'all. If there is a player that you kind of looked up to defensively, who do you think you model your playing skill or style as?
Someone for me I looked up to a lot was Alex Pietrangelo. And I think, you know, that cup run year, I watched him a lot in the playoffs and, you know, really just kind of fell in love with his game. And, you know, he's a bigger guy like myself. He skates really well. You know, he's got some offensive touch, but he plays hard, and he's a great defender. So I think that's someone that I've, you know, tried to model my game after.
And then I'd say for me, probably would say Jared Spurgeon. Smaller guy, kills penalties. And, yeah, obviously there's not too many guys who are 5'9 playing defense in the NHL, so any smaller guy, I just try and watch their game and pick up on any little cues and things that they do.
Do you guys watch hockey regularly, or is it when you get away from the rink, you kind of shut it down hockey-wise?
I wouldn't say I watch, like, a full game, but normally if I'm cooking dinner or something, I'll throw hockey on, or I feel like every morning when I wake up, normally I'll be checking the scores, or obviously at the rink they have the big TV with all the highlights, so I like to watch at least all the highlights and all the goals from the night before.
And I'm sure you're watching your brother, Justin?
Yeah, I usually try to watch every Jets game I can when we're not playing on the same night. So,
do you enjoy watching? Do you learn from that, or is it just for the enjoyment of watching? Because I used to watch, and I couldn't turn it off. I was watching a player, like you said, you're watching Spurgeon. I was watching a certain player, see how he does, how he blocks shots, or how he does something. So can you turn it off or just enjoy the game, or are you dialed in watching and learning?
I think it's a little bit of both. Like, for me, it's nice, since my brother's playing, I feel like I can be a bit more of a fan and, you know, kind of cheer for him. But at the same time, like, I'm watching guys like Josh Morrissey and what he does offensively at the offensive zone blue line, how kind of he creates offense. And, I think it kind of goes back and forth, you know, from cheering to – you know, getting down there and trying to pick up little things you guys are doing.
Yeah.
We did have some requests from fans who are not here to ask Nick Blankenberg about Ted Lasso.
Oh.
Well, is there a question to that, or just Ted Lasso?
We keep hearing you reference it in interviews, and everyone
loves
it. Yeah,
you threw out to believe.
So,
it was one of my favorite interviews of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I watched Ted Lasso when it first came out a few years ago, and I was pretty bored to start the year and just had a lot of free time on my hands. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to rewatch Ted Lasso again. And I feel like there's a lot of things in it that I maybe missed when I was watching it the first time. And I think just with the way the season's gone, like just when I mentioned the goldfish analogy or the believe sign, like I think it was right around when I finished season 3 where I was like, okay, like this is really good. But I just think it's good for us to, I know Bruno talks about it all the time, just having that belief in ourselves. And obviously it's a frustrating year with where we're at, but just have to keep believing in ourselves and what we're doing. And then with the goldfish thing, like having the 10-second memory, just like I've heard that before and have always tried to do it, but I just think with that instance, just having a 10-second memory, I think, is important in hockey.
And be curious. I like that one, right?
Are you a Ted Lasso guy?
The darts one, be curious.
Yeah.
Ask questions.
You're a Ted Lasso guy?
If you did, you would have known. What?
You're a Ted Lasso guy? 100%.
Yeah.
I'm apparently the only person in the world who hasn't seen the whole
thing. I think there's a season 4 coming out, I saw.
Max, you don't know numbers and you don't know Ted Lasso. Like,
do you want to hear my really embarrassing Ted Lasso take? I thought Wrexham was the team from Ted Lasso. Turns out that's a real team in real life.
Yeah.
That is owned by famous people.
You are not doing yourself any favors here, buddy.
Well, what else is
there? I am sorry about him, guys.
We have time for one more fan question. All right. In the front.
Just as long as you stop talking, Max.
I'm Shelby, and I was wondering if you had any, like, pregame traditions that you do?
That's a good question. Maybe a routine.
Yeah, I usually try to nap in the afternoon for about an hour. One thing I do is at the end of the national anthem, I always like to take 3 deep breaths and I usually close my eyes during the national anthem, then like to take 3 big deep breaths at the end and just kind of relax and settle in before the game starts.
Yeah, that's a good question, Shelby. I would say for me, something that I started actually doing this year was just trying to do like some breath work and meditation before the game. So I'll normally go throw my AirPods in and just listen to some calm music that calms you down and do some breathing exercises for 5-10 minutes just to kind of get my heart rate to slow down.
The Preds have done a good job of bringing in all that, the outside, you know, the sports psychology. And I know you guys did the cold tub breakdown and how you can use cold tubs, how you can use breathing. And when I was playing, we never had this. It was crazy for me to actually sit and like meditate. It was weird. But now it's more common now. You guys are doing a lot of that work, right? Do you find that it helps?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I think just the – and I'm sure JB can attest to this too. Just like the breathing for me has kind of just slowed my heart rate down. Like I think before games you can get pretty anxious sometimes. And I'd say it's a pretty stressful situation. So just trying to calm myself down and I guess just tell myself affirmations that – I believe in, and I feel like that kind of just centers me in a good place just to go out there and just have fun and be present in the moment.
I like that, Max.
Yeah, I do too. Good one to end on?
Is that? I think so.
Yeah.
That's pretty good stuff.
All right, let's clap it up one more time for Nick Blankenberg and Justin Barron from the Preds here tonight. Thank you to everyone from Black Abbey Brewing. Carl is in the house. If you're getting another beer at the bar tonight, make it a Black Abbey beer. They are the presenters of Smashville Live. We'll be back in 2 weeks on February 19th, 2 weeks from tonight, at Brewhouse South in the Cool Springs Galleria for our next episode. Until then, thanks to these guys for coming
by. Good job, guys. Thank you.
For Hal Gill and our entire crew, Sean Mark, Cliff McArdle, cheers. Jordan Schneider, the whole team at 102.5 The Game, I'm Max Herz. Thanks for listening to Preds Hockey on ESPN 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.